Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
North Carolina passed a bill that protects sanity and common sense, and frankly protects women in restrooms and other private facilities such as showers or locker rooms, and they did the right thing. Unfortunately, in another state, in Georgia, the governor is vetoing a very positive bill that would protect religious freedom in that state. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Matt, in North Carolina, this was a very quick turnaround of this bill with the Republican-led legislature and the Republican governor, Pat McCrory, signing this bill that was a bill that literally reversed what was happening in Charlotte, North Carolina, where they provided this so-called bathroom bill that allowed men to use women's restrooms.
Yeah, the city council there had kind of pushed through this ordinance that was just horrendous. I mean, just absolutely outrageous. That would allow men, whether or not they've been through any kind of so-called gender reassignment surgery or anything else, to go into showers, public showers and restroom facilities and changing facilities, shower alongside your wives, your daughters, full biological males, just because they subjectively decide on any given day, hey, today I think I feel like a woman trapped in a man's body. Of course, we've had, examples around the country of men taking advantage of this, going in and leering at people, taking pictures, exposing themselves intentionally to even young girls. So this was a bill to protect women and children, particularly in North Carolina, that overturned this ridiculous ordinance. And of course, the governor is under assault here and being attacked, and the misinformation and the disinformation of how they're trying to portray this as some kind of discriminatory bill that would discriminate against homosexuals and transgender individuals is absolutely absurd. But that's the meme that's being pushed out there.
And, you know, Holly, before I ask you what your response is.
You know what I'll say.
I want to be very clear. This particular bill actually makes North Carolina join about 24, 25 other states, which essentially says that these categories of non-discrimination are set at the state level, not at the local city or county level. Virginia has that. Many other states have this because you don't want a patchwork of adding this particular category of protection in the city, but then when you cross the city lines, it's not there in the county or vice versa. And what happened is Charlotte went beyond what was already provided in the state law and added sexual orientation and gender identity. So this law, in part, one of the things it did was say, no, the state's going to preempt the field. It only is a statewide issue, so no county can go beyond what the state of North Carolina has done. That's essentially what it does. It joins about half of the states in doing so. But Holly, you know, in your perspective as a woman, you know, one of the things that this particular bill does is bring sanity back to common sense use of restrooms, so that if you go into a women's restroom, you know that only women are there. If you go into a men's restroom, you only see men in there. But under the way Charlotte had passed this law, if you go into a woman's restroom, lo and behold, it could be filled with men. You could be surrounded by a bunch of men in a woman's restroom.
You know, I couldn't imagine experiencing that or even having the fear of that possibility. You know, as it's a God-given need for a sense of security, especially as a woman, to know that I am protected. You know, God created that umbrella over women for men to protect them. And here they are doing the opposite. They're making them vulnerable to possible rape. And as Matt alluded to earlier, they could be taking advantage of this and going in there and assaulting women. So I think it's just a horrendous, horrendous possibility that a woman could be subjected, whether they live or work or even visiting a city like Charlotte, to be exposed to this.
Yeah, you know, Matt and Holly, the secular left constantly talks about this war on women. I can think of no more of an overt attack on the right to privacy in our wives and our daughters, our mothers, than this bill where the secular left is pushing to allow men. They're trying to blur these lines, what they call gender neutrality, trying to create this kind of androgynous society. Well, this is, if among other things, this is sexual harassment. I think we need to start playing offense here. People need to start suing, filing with the EEOC, sexual harassment complaints. If a man comes into a woman's locker room, that is sexual harassment. It's a subjective analysis. A person need only feel sexually harassed, but I can't imagine, I'm not a woman, obviously, can't imagine what it would feel like to have some man come in and ogle, you know, women in an open showering facility or locker room. That is sexual harassment, plain and clear.
Well, Matt, you have young daughters, and I can't imagine, you know, in your situation where you take them to a facility and they walk in there and they come running out frightened because they see some man, not just a man in the restroom, but a man in a complete state of undress, exposing himself to, you know, your young daughters. As a parent, that would be traumatic for you, and certainly it's traumatic for your children.
Well, infuriating. I mean, and your natural as a father, your natural reaction is to defend them. This is an attack. For when a man exposes himself to your minor daughters, you know, my daughters are 11 and 12 years old. You know, your inclination is to take this person and hold him in custody for the police because it's a crime. So this is criminal activity dressed up and painted as political correctness somehow. We have lost our minds in this country, and the T in the LGBT alphabet of nonsense is the weak link, certainly, within that movement.
You know, my question is, for example, in the city of Charlotte, where is the church in all of this? You know, is the church, are we as the church allowing the homosexual activists to win over the God-given needs? You know, God created man with certain parts. He created a woman with certain parts. And that's just black and white. There's no changing that. So why isn't the church speaking out on these issues?
Well, the church was involved, could certainly be involved in a much greater extent than it has been. And I know others were involved as well, trying to push against this. But what ultimately happened is the church can get riled up and get involved at this stage, kind of like what happened in Houston. The church got very involved and the people got involved, and they ultimately went to the polls and they reversed what Houston did in a very similar situation there. But the church has to get involved before these things happen. Because why do these things happen? Because the church wasn't involved
exactly
before these bills right got put on the agenda, and therefore the people got elected weren't consistent with the values of the Judeo-Christian community. And it's those people who forced this on them that ultimately resulted in the Houston reversal and resulted now in this reversal. But the church has to get involved before it gets to this level.
So hence the importance of our elections, and we need to be speaking out and electing those candidates who adhere to these God-given policies.
Unfortunately, there's a climate of fear, I think, within the church. Matt, you cite several instances in Houston, certainly in North Carolina and elsewhere, where bold pastors do get involved, but far too many pastors, far too many churches are, you know, they buy into this idea that somehow these moral issues are political issues and that the church is not supposed to engage in political issues. Nonsense. The moral issues that have been politicized, and it is the not just, it's the responsibility of the church to engage culture, to be salt and light in a culture that loves death.
And you're right, Matt. I think we sometimes get confused between loving the person and not the action. And I think the church has a hard time with that.
You know, and it's what happened here in Georgia, where the governor in that state is now vetoing the religious liberty protection law because of fear. He's gotten pushed back from the other side. You know, and the fact is, we should have someone in that position who you would know is going to do the right thing. The only way you're going to do that is not because they have an R by their name, but because they understand Judeo-Christian values. We should put in office people that we don't have to lobby. You know, for example, Matt Krause. Matt Krause is a graduate of Liberty University School of Law. He worked for Liberty Counsel. He is an elected official now in Texas. I don't have to, and other people don't have to, lobby him on something like this when it comes up. Why? Because he's already grounded and solid. That's the kind of people we need, people that do not require people to lobby them. If you have to lobby your legislature a legislator to convince him or her that something is right or wrong, you've got the wrong person in office. There may be certain intricacies and details on things they need to know about, but if they don't know right from wrong, you've got the wrong person in office. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, and ask for the Silence is Not an Option DVD to give to your pastors and church leaders, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website is lc.org. Become an active partner with Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.